Welcome to the Tracking Connections podcast, and thanks for listening.
We feature voices from around the world sharing stories of working intentionally with deep nature connection in ways that transform lives, families, projects, and communities. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm John.
And we are your hosts from Living Connection First.
Hey, everybody. This is Aiden.
And Sarah here. Today, we're going to talk about renewal practices and tradition.
Yeah, John here. Going back to 1975 or so, but I was having a particularly rough day and was not feeling very happy about being a teenager and kind of caught between worlds. You know, I had this mentor that was connecting me deeply to the earth, Tom Brown Jr. And then I had my peers and friends, and there seemed to be this kind of really big disconnect. Like, I had spent 5 years with Tom at this point and going much, much deeper into, nature practices, tracking awareness, survival skills, you know, and I kind of got mentored away from my peer group in terms of just how I saw the world. You know, it was like my values had shifted to be much more sensitive and conscious of the impact that I was having on the earth and the people around me. And that, yeah, I just wasn't being met there. So I had the particularly rough experience and was feeling really depressed. And I let Tom know about that. And he came over and visited with me and sat me down. And he said, you know, his mentor, grandfather would ask me these questions whenever I was down. And it really helped me to kind of, you know, stay on my path essentially and feel good about my life. And he said to me, you know, why don't you get your journal and imagine, he said, what in your life makes you feel really alive? You know, what, when you're doing those things, you feel like the best version of yourself. Just brainstorm a whole bunch of those. And, you know, he said, but don't just like think about them, like imagine yourself, fully imagine yourself doing those things so that you actually feel it in your body, how it makes you feel. So I took out a journal and I scribbled a bunch of things down. And next day he came over and we went through the list, you know, and then we added a few more things because he said, oh, what about this? And we're doing that together. How am I? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, you know. And so we fleshed out that list of things that made me feel really connected to myself, to other people, to the natural world, you know, because that was the source of it, right? Like whenever I imagined is not strong enough. It's like putting yourself into it. Like you're living that experience, you know, while you're sitting at your desk with your journal, you know, you're like really literally using all your sensory memory to go back and live those experiences again and let them really fill your whole body up. Right. And then he said, okay, well, you know, not to be a downer, but why don't you go ahead and do the same thing and list out all the things that make you feel the opposite, you know, that make you feel like, you know, kryptonite for Superman, you know, that takes your energy away, that makes you feel heavy, that makes you feel tired, that makes you feel frustrated. Like, list those out too, because you should be aware of those, you know, so that you can make the choice between the two. You know, he took that process further over the next few days, but I have to tell you that process kind of cured me of my depression, put me into a much, much better space. He at that time already had me doing something that he reminded me of during this time when we were working on this over the course of a week, you know, where I keep taking another step every day. And we'd have conversations, you know, about the things that I had written down. And he said, what are those things that happen that you can't explain? You know, like when you have a question about a track and you go out in nature and you wander with that question and then you find yourself walking into the answer. Notice those things too, and list as many of those as you can. And at that time, I had just barely become aware that that was actually happening. But, you know, he had me list those things out too. And, you know, these were like, he didn't use this word, but these were patterns of synchronicity. And what we'll often say is that, you know, it's kind of like getting help from nature. But when you look at the science of flow, there's, I think, Stephen Kotler wrote a nice book about that. When we are connected to ourselves, to other people in a good way, and to the natural world, we enter basically the flow state. And when there's flow, there's synchronicity, you know, just tracking these things. And he also then took me through this this process where, you know, if I asked other people in my life, you know, if I asked my grandmother, or my sister, my good friends, or even asked Tom, what are my gifts, my passions, my talents, you know, like what do other people see in me? Because what that does is it shines a light on things that we ourselves will take for granted that feel kind of normal to us, or if they are like a true gift that we possess, and we all possess gifts, we all do. We're all particularly drawn and sensitive to something, right? But if we're really sensitive to something, we might have a really high standard for that something, or we might take it for granted. Like people will be like, well, thank you so much for saying that. That was amazing. And you're just like, huh, I don't know what you're talking about. That felt pretty normal to me. So we might not see that about ourselves. So by approaching people who know us well and just asking them, hey, what do you see? When you see me really lit up and you see me in my most happy state where I'm most passionate, most alive, you know, what do you see me bringing? What I ended up doing was, you know, talking to my mother's twin sister, who she was one of those people who really saw me, you know, and sometimes would yell at my mother for oppressing that side of me, you know, so I knew I could count on her. And I ended up talking to one of my best friends who lived in the neighborhood. His mother also, she really always reflected back to me things about me that she really enjoyed. So I figured, okay, I have a few people I could go to, you know, and it was kind of a weird thing for me to do, but it actually ended up being fun, you know, and my grandmother's, of course, my great aunt, and then some of my friends. And, you know, I had to list all those things. And it was interesting for me because, you know, what it did for me was it caused me to see me through the eyes of others, which kind of helped me appreciate myself more. Because I think, you know, what Tom was really working on, he was always one to call out, you know, what he called the demon of distraction or the demon of self-doubt. And he was always helping me with that. Right. So here was a process that we were going through that culminated in this, what I now call the ideal scene, because, you know, he didn't really have a name for it at the time, but sort of like a precursor to designing your life, you know. And one of the coolest steps leading up to this ideal scene was what he called, you know, backtracking the stepping stones of our vision. Right. Now, so I'm a 15-year-old and I don't really have a sense of what vision is, but he was very passionate. You know, he had been doing this process for so many years that it led him to really understand what his vision was for life. What, you know, what's the why? Why am I alive? Why am I here? And really fully embracing that. And right up until his passing in August of 2024, you saw how dedicated he was, how passionate he was, and how committed he was to following that vision. As long as I've known him, that's how he's been, right? And a lot of people remarked at, you know, his celebration of life, they talked about that part of him and how it changed their lives, you know, and certainly how it changed my life. I can see that very clearly now. You know, I've seen it not just today from this podcast, but I do see very clearly that his commitment to a process like this is what lit his fire and made his light so bright and made his service to his vision and the helping to pass on, you know, knowledge of the natural world, you know, change so many lives, right? And, you know, and we all have that potential to have a greater power and meaningful influence in our lives, which brings us joy, it brings us peace, it brings us a sense of purpose. So he gets to this fifth step, you know, which is backtracking the stepping stones of our visions, right? And I'm like, what does that even mean? And he's trying to explain it to me, and it's not landing. And he says, well, you know, it's like this. You know, have you ever had those moments where you're like in a state of elevated consciousness, right? Where in a meaningful way, you can see how the threads of your life have led to the moment you're in. And it's like you have this, maybe you're in a deep conversation with a friend around a fire or whatever, but you go into this deep, deep place of communication with yourself and with that other person where you have access to kind of see your life from a greater perspective. And I'm like, oh yeah, actually, I remember moments like that. And they were around the fire with friends. You know, we'd be sitting in the Pine Barrens around the fire late into the night, just talking, like me and Joe Forlenzo or me and Mike Janico, or, you know, we would just be talking and the conversation just could just go anywhere. And there was no sort of friction on the conversation. And it just lifted into this really connected conversation that opened up the ability to see beyond the mundane, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure how to frame it. But he said, you know, it's almost like when you get to those moments of elevated conversation, you're standing on a mountain peak, and in the distance is another mountain peak, and that's your vision. But when you look back from where you just came, you can see the other mountain peaks that were those moments of elevated consciousness, that one led to the other, to the other. And he called those stepping stones. And that was the harder part for me at 15 to do. But in his opening up that vista, that way of looking, it really kind of shifted the way I thought about my life. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'll tell you that we worked in this way at least once a year. We'd go into this process. It didn't necessarily happen at New Year's, you know, like now, you know, we make this an annual routine in our family, and a lot of communities around the world do the same, you know, right around this time of year, in the Northern Hemisphere, when the solstice brings us into the dark time, it's time to go inward and reflect on, you know, what, now that we have a little time to ourselves, a little timelessness, we can repeat this process every year and take it much deeper, right? Like an annual tradition, annual routine, you could call it a practice, a process, but you can even think of it as a ritual, because you're putting, it means something to you. It can literally bring something into your life that makes your life more valuable, more worth living. So, you know, it has value in that kind of sacred way, you know, for a lot of people, and for me too. And so, you know, this stepping stone thing got deeper and deeper as the years went on. And it was right up until 2022 that I did this with Tom semi-annually, sometimes twice a year. He was really helping me prepare for a vision quest. So, you know, you can do this lightly, or you can do it deeply. I mean, you can meet it at, you know, at whatever level you want to. You can do it alone. You can do it with close friends or family. And you could use it just to prepare a week, you know, so this doesn't have to wait for an annual thing. You could use it to wrap up a project and say, okay, we just spent 3 weeks on that. And, you know, we could, let's go do these steps, you know, these renewal steps, and see what it teaches us, what we learn from it, right? So there's lots of ways to apply this. So you could think of it as a core routine for people connection or self-connection. It does work that way, you know, and I think if you do it annually deeply, then you'll find yourself kind of thinking that way, you know, throughout the year when you need a moment of transition where you're kind of wrapping up something and getting ready for something else. Well, let's go to that step six, because in the sixth step, it's about releasing and embracing, you know, because, you know, Tom would say to me after I've gotten through these five steps and I had all these things in my journal, they're just, you know, reflections, notes to self, you know, lists, you know, little phrases. When you get to that number six, he says, okay, now let's look back over everything here. Let's just go right back through everything you've done so far and go inside yourself and ask yourself, is there anything within you, John, that you feel like you're holding on to that's keeping you from embracing this list, right? From really fully stepping into it. Like, what do you have to let go of in order for yourself to be able to really step into this? Because, you know, this could make a big difference in your life path. So we call that step releasing and embracing now. Before we hit the record button, Nathan was saying, yeah, this process, you just kind of go step one through six a few times until you kind of gather up the energy from it, right? And then you look forward into the future and you say, if I could do anything, based on what I just reflected on over and over again here, these steps one through six, what would I create as my future? Like, if I could do anything without limitation. Tom had me do kind of a vision board, if you will, where he literally said, let's go through magazines and cut little pictures out that remind you of this thing in your notes and make this kind of vision board, like a collage of a possible future, right? That I can keep looking at to remind myself. So I don't have to keep going back through and reading and rereading and rereading, because he said that takes, you know, that'll take some of the power out of it if you just keep rereading it, because you'll start to believe that you know it already. But if you make a visual representation of it or a symbolic representation of it, every time you look at it, you'll kind of see it with new eyes, and it will keep teaching you, you know. So It's a rather deep process to do at 15, but I will say that it definitely changed the course of my life. And to this day, I do this at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, because we like to facilitate it for northern latitudes at this time of year in December, January, February. But then we also have lots of friends in New Zealand and South Africa and Australia. So we'll also do it, you know, in the middle of the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, being aware that the southern hemisphere folks might be going inward and, you know, wanting to do some renewal and reflection to embrace their new year, their new solar year, so to speak, right? It's not the Gregorian year, but, you know, just being in that feeling of, you know, the darkness and the light. Because it is cool when it's really the dark time to do this kind of renewal process. And step 7 is kind of like a precursor for a design, right? If you were actually going to take a piece of that and say, how am I going to really implement that? Well, then you might go into a design process. But a few years back, our friend Richard, who was doing renewal with us, who had worked with Wasa Eddie King, who's an Anishinaabe man, who's now an ancestor. But Richard said, you know, I'm waiting for that 8th step, John. I'm like, what's the 8th step, Richard? You know, 7 was the only step I went to. He said, well, you know, Wasa would always make us go, like when we got to this part of the renewal process, because the Anishinaabe people that Wasa learned from also had a renewal process like this that was done in the solstice time. We would always take our kind of our final result and we would go into a meditation and we would actually go back and show this picture to our ancestors, you know, and ask them what they think of it, you know, and just see if anything shifts in us, right? So it's just a visualization process, but it can be quite powerful. Then we bring it back to we thank the ancestors, we come back to the future, we come back to the present, I mean, and then kind of clear the deck. Then we do the same thing and we go into the 7th unborn generation and we show them our renewal process, what we came out with, and ask them what they think, you know, and then it gives us insights into how to make it even more meaningful. So it's in service beyond ourselves. So we added that in the last few years. And some people have said it's literally changed their life, that little meditation that it took me 30 seconds to describe. So yeah, I've put that on there now, but we call this the renewal of creative path and been practicing it with communities and community leaders all over the world. And people look forward to it every year. And, you know, families come together around this process and they do it over potlucks and over the course of a few, you know, weeks, or sometimes they'll do it over 2 days. You know, people do it different ways. When Tom did this with me originally, it probably took 2 weeks every day, just sort of touching in on it and having a conversation for a half hour, 45 minutes. But, you know, there's different ways to do it, but it's nice to set aside time and kind of clear the space a little bit. So you have a little timelessness, you know, around it. So you can really just be with yourself in reflection. It's really good to have a close friend or family member that you can share from the heart with, that you can reflect these things with, so that they, you know, they're doing the process on their own. You come together and share it together. Really builds up the strength of it. I think witnessing it with another person helps it to become real. When I was doing my research in anthropology in between 79 and 83, I found that there were cultures all over the world. And you know, Austria, they still do this, a process like this called Rough Nights. And they do it during, you know, this time of year, you know, the dark time. And very similar questions. You know, my friend Gailey Bachman, and who lives near Innsbruck, was reflecting on how similar, you know, this process was. And when I was over in Hawaii with my adopted family there, I asked them if they had a process like this. And they also had one very similar, and you followed very similar practices. And one of the things that Grandmother Shore says is the simplest way to describe this process is looking back to look forward and to move forward. What did we learn from behind us, and how will that help us move forward? You know, so, you know, those are my reflections on it. I think it's a really helpful pattern in my life. I can honestly say that everything, including Tracking Connections podcast, came to me during Renewal of Creative Path, you know, so it has very much influenced everything I do in the world, and we're never done. We learn things every year. We learn things from every challenge that we face, and it's always good to check back in with this. So that's why I think of it as a core routine.
I'm appreciating that universality, right, of the renewal process. And I'm sure people that are listening to this podcast are saying to themselves, yeah, I do something like that, whether or not it's a New Year's resolutions, which is, you know, pretty common thing to do, right? That's kind of part of our culture. the norm of society that we at least consider a renewal through the New Year's resolution. But the process that you're describing, John, is a very deep process, right? Really well thought out, really brings you to a place. There's like an investment, a commitment to really taking the time to go through the process and really go inside and look. And so the effect of that, right? What is that renewing that happens? And what if we don't do that, right? So for me, the renewal process is about living intentionally and intentionally, you know, creating choice points of how you're moving through life, right? If we don't take the time to stop and reflect, like, what have I done in my life up until now? Or what did I do last year? What were the things that I accomplished or that I got inspired by? Or, you know, how is my life moving? You know, the good and the you know, less pleasant. What were the choices that I made and where am I now? Right. And then where do I want to go? If we don't have that perspective or we don't ask those questions, life can just kind of, you know, keep going by and just keep happening and unfolding. And we don't, you know, necessarily create conscious choices of how we want to direct it. So I think that's one of the biggest values for me around renewal processes is really asking, okay, what am I doing? Am I just kind of going with the flow of what's expected or what's just kind of, you know, being put in front of me? Or am I utilizing my choices, you know, my ability to perceive what I want, what I feel in my heart, what I want to bring and create in my life for my family, for my village, for the whole, for the future generations, right? So when we can expand our perspective beyond just this moment, you know, day to day, I'm basically living to survive or to get by and not really paying attention to any kind of purpose or why. You know, that's a choice. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's a bad one. That's certainly a choice to kind of just float, right? And then there's this intentionality within the renewal process that's acknowledging, like, what have I actually done? What have I been called toward, right? As I become older, as I age, what do I want to have as my memories? What are the memories that I have from my past that enrich me and have made me who I am? What are the relationships that I can really honor and really, you know, find those gems and gifts that I've received and really acknowledge and hold those as treasures, right? That we've received in this lifetime. And then how do we want to move forward? Where life can, you know, in these times feel a bit like a drudge, you know, like a difficult challenge to be. And can we face it with creative power, right? Like what I actually have the power to create my life. Maybe it takes 10 years or 20 or 30 years, or maybe I don't get it done in this life, but I have that power to choose to make choices that are bringing me in a particular direction. So the renewal process lifts up those things that are truly important to your heart. You know, what makes you feel alive? What makes you feel passionate? And what are the fantasies, right? Like the magic wand things, those fantasies sometimes come true, right? Those things that we think are too far out of reach, actually they're not. And we just need to take a couple steps toward it. So what if instead of saying, oh, that's not possible, right? I can't have XYZ or I can't do XYZ. What if we just said, well, that's what I want. What would be a step that I can take, right, in this next year toward that place? And see, you know, you can't get to that last place unless you take a step toward it. And so just having the courage and taking the risk to say, I want something and take a step in that direction, you know, eventually you might find yourself in that place. The other thing I appreciate about renewal processes is that, like John's saying, it's not just once a year, right? Like there's opportunities for renewal all the time. And I often will do a monthly renewal, you know, following the moon, like, okay, in the new moon, what seeds am I planting? What do I intend for this month coming up? You know, where have I been in this last month? What's moved for me? What are the things that are coming up? How do I relate to this flow in time right now? And those are not as deep, right, as the yearly one or the biannual renewal processes, but having it as a rhythm, you know, checking in of where have I been? Where am I going? Right? What do I want? Am I still moving things in the right direction? Or have I picked up some patterns that aren't helpful for me that I want to shed? And then, you know, even every morning, right? Or in the beginning of the week, right? Monday, John, Aiden, and I get together. We talk about our plans for the week. We review what's been moving and where we're going, right? These renewal processes are kind of embedded in a different parts of our culture without really noticing that that's what we're doing. But like every morning, right, I wake up and I'm like, okay, what is today? What happened yesterday? What happened while I was sleeping? And where am I right now? And what am I creating for this day? Have I included things that are inspiring and fun and make me feel good, you know? And what is the work that I have to do, right? Like, what are the things that I have to check off the list today? And, you know, feel good about balancing those things of have to do, you know, work and get it done. And then I also need to take care of myself and my family and my friends and reach out and socialize and connect with people and, you know, maybe do something creative. Like, am I touching all the parts? So I actually have like a list, you know, a personal list that I developed of like, what are the important aspects of me, like my life that I want to make sure I'm tending to, like creativity, like socializing, like, you know, doing the financial budget, whatever, like the paying your bills and getting that part done, right? So I have this little list that I created that I'll look at and be like, okay, am I checking all these points? Oh, I haven't really been very social. So what can I do to bring more of that into my life? Otherwise, I find myself getting in a rut around, I don't have time to socialize because I'm too busy working, right? And that's, I want to say that's fairly normal, right? To kind of narrow our vision, you know, our ability to see what's possible due to things like stress or just patterns that have accumulated and have been informed by external authorities versus our own internal autonomy and, you know, ability to create and choose our life.
When I think about this, the first piece that comes to mind that adds to what you both are saying is this idea of the quadrant theory, right? Where you imagine these four quadrants or four corners based on urgent and important, right? And that there is this upper right quadrant that is important, but not urgent. And these are often the big moving pieces in our lives that when we look back, they become the most significant foundation stones of what, you know, kind of gives us the meaning and satisfaction in our life. And in a typical day or a typical week, when we are addressing what's needed, there won't be a space to really take a look at those things. And so I think these renewal routines that you really described well, Sarah, of all the different levels at which they can happen, but to continue to return to that question of what really is most important to me is the thing that I think ultimately steers us towards where we want to be. And I think the thing I want to reflect on too is that there's, you know, I think in modern culture, there is an incredible emphasis on achievement and this idea of sort of the big achievement and that you will hit a certain milestone or peak, and then that's going to lead to, you know, your happiness. You know, I'm gonna have this, or I'm gonna do this, and then I'll be happy. But then there's the reality of, you know, every day. You know, what is it like on a Wednesday afternoon? What is my experience of life on a Monday morning? And that we have way, way, way more of those than we have of these peak experiences. And of course, human psychology has shown that we tend to sort of get used to whatever we have in a couple of weeks. And so if we're basing our satisfaction on, you know, achievement, it sort of becomes the hamster wheel. And, you know, we're racing for ever more and more and more achievement. But there's another Monday coming next week, and one after that, and after that, and after that. And the day-to-day experience of the world is actually a much larger portion of our lives. And I think that, you know, having this process where we really get to slow down and look at that, it makes such a difference. And there's something else I want to kind of highlight on, because it's something that I have definitely been experiencing these last several years. It's like when you sit down and you look at this and you realize that you're actually quite far from where you had hoped you would be. And, you know, it can be tough to look at that and to realize, oh man, like I really wanted this to be, you know, kind of over here, or I wanted things to be going this way and they're not going that way. But the value in that of recognizing that it may take 5 years or 10 years or longer to shift, and that worthwhile shifts are almost necessarily slow in their manifestation. And so us, you know, going through this process and looking and recognizing, oh man, I don't like my trajectory here, allows us to be really intentional, you know, and it's, for me, has allowed me to be very intentional about my trajectory. And I really, really like something that James Clear, he's the author of Atomic Habits, talks about when around trajectory. He basically talks about that idea of like, I don't actually really have a ton of control over how quickly I'm going to end up in a particular place, but I can always be intentional about my trajectory in the sense of, you know, am I doing a little more today or this week or this month of the things that I want than I was previously? And, you know, am I getting a little less of the things that I didn't want? You know, and that can kind of help you measure the trajectory that you're on. And then, you know, the thing that I love about an annual renewal routine is that you actually can get some data on that after a year. You know, day to day, the things that shift and change in our lives are often imperceptible. But when we look at it, you know, a year later, we can see, oh, wow, actually, I really did shift something this year. And I didn't even notice because of the nature of how we kind of get used to the water we're swimming in so quickly. So I love the big picture, you know, annual renewal in relationship to these daily and weekly and monthly routines. And I love the idea of doing it with the moon cycle. I think that's such a nicer way to go than to follow the Gregorian calendar personally. So thank you for sharing that, Sarah, too, the idea of doing it with the new moon. That's inspired me. But yeah, just there's so much value in all of this. And I think it's, you know, it's something that I almost find is more important to me in my harder times than it has been in my easy times. And, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, oh man, this sounds like a lot. Well, yeah, it is a lot, but it's okay to start now and start small, you know, and start to kind of build toward something that feels worth moving towards.
You know, this reminds me of a statement that Tom would often refresh over the years. You know, the vision is the journey, and the journey is now. The vision is kind of like that big hairy goal that you never get to, right? But, you know, like when you reflect on it in light of achievement, you know, where you postpone your happiness, I'll be happy when I retire, or I'll be happy when I accomplish this thing. But really all we have is now, honestly. And, you know, the more honest we are, the more we realize that that's true, you know, that life is a series of nows. You know, we're never going to achieve the big hairy vision, perhaps, but it's what gets me up in the morning. And, you know, as Tom says, don't fix the vision. You know, don't try to pin it down in words, because every day your relationship with it will change, because it's almost like a living guiding force that has to be able to change. It has to be able to adapt. It has to be able to move and shift. You know, it's not a fixed point. But really what we're talking about is a way of being, a way of awareness that we're living in every moment with, you know, what Tom would call a depth of self-analysis. You know, he would say that if you want to improve anything in your life, you could practice the skills physically, externally, or practice, or, you know, try to learn the subject physically, externally, but chances are what keeps you from, you know, getting to the level of competency or mastery or whatever it is that you're seeking is more related to what's going on inside of you than what is in front of you. He would take this renewal thing to a daily practice, as, you know, Sarah was reflecting on, you know, what happened when I slept. And at the end of the day, he would have me look back and say, well, if I could have lived this day over again, what would I have done differently? Or, you know, maybe I was trying to learn a skill and I was getting frustrated by it, whatever it might be, maybe a new lick on the banjo, or, you know, a particular skill with lighting fire without matches, or whatever it was, because I was, you know, practicing music and becoming a musician in my life. At the same time, I was learning all these tracking and awareness and primitive skills things, right? You know, and any time that I followed up on what Tom said and essentially took this renewal process at the end of the day and said, wow, if I could have done this day over, what would I have done differently? Or if I could approach that practice session where I was trying to learn that new lick on the banjo, how would I have done it differently? And, you know, what results would I get from that? Because this is like a process of self-analysis, the opportunity to learn from challenges and failures, because let's face it, you know, the best lessons, as Aidan said, when things are hard, when things are most challenging, it seems to be easier to do a process like this. But when things are going, quote unquote, well, or if we're in that rut and we're just kind of flowing through our day and we came up with a great ideal scene, you know, last January, and then we went back into our life and life never challenged us, so we just stayed in our rut. And then we come back to the next January, a year later, and we go to do the renewal process again, and we pull out last year's book and we look at the list and we're like, wow, those are all the things that I really wanted to bring into my life this year. And I've actually done nothing on this list whatsoever, right? It's kind of like what happens to us when we're just going through to status quo and things just move, the water we're swimming in, we don't notice it anymore. And then I've heard people say this, you know, after 3 years of doing renewal every year, they say, wow, this is haunting me because I've now come up with the same list 3 years in a row and I've done absolutely nothing about this. And, you know, why? You know, why do we do that? You know, if we know what makes us happy, if we know what makes us alive, what makes us feel like we're really living, you know, that old saying, when death finds you, may it find you alive, you know, like, did we live? You know, do we feel like we owned our moments and that each moment was rich and full of gratitude and joy and purpose? And, you know, or do we run the risk of, I'm postponing that until I reach this benchmark? But why postpone it? You know, why not bring more joy, more purpose, more love, more life, more peace into your journey every day? You know, and ultimately that's what these routines or, you know, rituals, you know, provide for us, you know. And I'm reflecting on something that one of our villagers said at Living Connection First Village recently, when we were talking about some of these practices, you know, that he said they felt like these well-worn stones at a monastery, you know, where, you know, thousands of monks over hundreds of years have walked those stones. You know, these practices are timeless and time-honored, and they're full of wisdom and collective memory from generation upon generation of people really looking at this to find that sense of purpose and meaningful service in their life where they feel fully alive, you know. So yeah, not challenging you to do this. As Aidan said, you can do it really lightly, and you know, you could literally take the list of 8 steps and just look at the title and a couple of sentences underneath it. I've actually led groups in this process in the course of a few hours, just by saying, okay, I'm going to ask a question. Everyone get ready to write it down in their notebook. I'll ask the question. Everyone writes it down. I'm like, hey, throw out some of the things you got, you know, and we all listen to each other. I'm like, okay, let's do the second step here. Okay, now I want you to write down these things, you know, so you could literally do it in, you know, 4 hours or even less. I mean, you could do it in 2 hours. I've done it in 2 hours. So you can do it at different scales. The thing is, you know, the more you do it, the more it becomes like part of your operating system. And as Sarah said, you know, we don't even notice that we're doing it, but we're doing it all the time. And it's heavily woven into our practices and our culture as an organization. And, you know, everybody does this in our organization in the time between December and February, where we all go through the process. And then we look at our projects through this lens as well, because you can do this for projects, you can do it as an individual, you can do it as a family. You know, it's a really good thing for couples to do together, because it really helps them to define their purpose as a family unit. But yeah, and again, one other thing I want to say is that, you know, back when I was 15, 16 and 17 and 18, you know, Tom kept saying to me, when you come up with your ideal scene, think about what kind of a job would either give you the time to do it when you're off, or a job that pays you to do at least some of it as part of your vocation, and you try to find some way to balance between work life and living life, you know, and in your designing, you know, designing forward.
I wanted to reflect on the timelessness aspect of this, you know, as we get deep into the process of renewal, there's the practical, right? And the kind of, okay, this year I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I'm going to make a list. These are the things that I'm going to do. This is the general timeline that I perceive, you know, is possible for that to be done. And, you know, John was talking about that. Ooh, you come back next year and you're like, darn, I didn't do it. And how really disheartening that can be. And I guess what I want to say is just to, I want to encourage people not to be too discouraged about that. The process of finding what's truly meaningful to us and then trying to manifest it in this world is, you know, it's an endeavor. If it was easy, this world would look really different, right? So that question of why, I think, you know, we all will have a tendency to be hard on ourselves for not staying with our commitments or not, you know, seeing these things come to fruit. So why don't those things happen, I think, is one of, you know, the reasons why we're here, right? How do we become what we truly want or who we truly are? Like, these are big questions. It's not necessarily easy, right, to create the ideal scene for ourselves. So to take the pressure off, well, darn, I didn't do anything on my list, or I did one thing, and say, okay, I'm going to try again. There's a reason why it's not easy, right? And I can't say what that reason is, right? But those things that are really deeply important to us that we tend to, you know, why aren't we quite there? Asking that question is perfect, right? Just ask that question, why not? And what's maybe one small step, but keeping your eye on the prize in a grounded and humble way of, no, I actually do want this thing. I don't know why I'm not doing it. You know, what is it? Like one of the questions in the renewal process, what is keeping me from it? And that question is not an easy question to answer. Like, these are big life questions, right? So having some gentleness with ourselves around this being a timeless process, like we can chunk it into a day, a week, a month, a year, and then know that this is possibly going to take a lifetime, a lot of these things, and maybe not even one lifetime. Maybe you're setting up the stepping stones for the next generations, and that is highly valuable, because I think a lot of the things that are close to our hearts that we want to manifest, there's a reason why they're not here, and we're having the intention to begin to create these things, right? These, say, their nature connection experiences or healing for generations of people. Like, the more we each take steps in that direction, there is a concentric ring moving out, and we are laying down frameworks and stepping stones for things moving forward.
Well, whatever it is that you take from this, we wish you well on your journey. And I think you have probably gathered from listening to this that there are so many different levels with which we can, you know, approach renewal practices and routines. And, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, every little bit makes a difference every day. And we really appreciate you all listening. And thanks for being part of Tracking Connections here in our first year. You know, this is going to release on January 1st, 2025. So we're really looking back at 2024 and celebrating our first year of podcasting. And we really appreciate all of you that are out there listening and on this journey with us. And we hope that you have a wonderful 2025. Thanks for listening.
I'm just going to leave you with this thought from Mark Tollefson's late father, Cliff. Start where you're at, work with what you got, do the best you can. I think that's always good in all processes. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Tracking Connections. If you enjoy this podcast, it would mean a lot to us if you would take a minute to follow or subscribe. Following the podcast helps us, and it helps you, because you'll never miss an episode. We'd also love for you to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode with a friend. To learn more about our current offerings, visit livingconnectionfirst.net. We'll see you next time.